You know, God is awesome.
God is awesome.
We just need to step out. You know? Yes. You know, we need to pray for dogs.
Yeah.
Right? We need to pray for pray for hangnails.
Yep.
We need to pray for, you know, headaches. We need to, you know what?
We pray for everything.
If you don't start praying for the small things when the big thing comes and you don't know how to pray and you don't know how to stand, amen. You're not going to know how to pray and you're not going to know how to stand. Amen. There's no small thing. You know? And then when Rick was sharing what he was sharing, I can't think of making it through life without Christ, right? How many times people say, you Christians, you use Christianity as a crutch. Jesus Christ is a crutch. Really? Really? You know, while in the meantime, they take Valium and they take, you know, and they drink, you know, and they smoke weed or whatever. Whatever they have to do to make it through. What's their crutch?
Right.
We face it.
Amen.
We walk through it. Amen. Because we're walking through it with him.
Amen.
He's walking through it. We're walking with him. We're facing it.
Yes.
Just like David, he ran to the giant. He didn't go hide, run around and hide behind rocks and go into caves. He ran right at that giant. Can you imagine that? He ran at him. Oh my gosh. So, you know, I don't even know how to start because, you know, I got word yesterday that another friend of mine passed away. Stage 4 cancer, pancreatic cancer. Okay? And I don't, sometimes I just don't get it, you know? And this person loved God. I mean, loved God. And this person, man, was speaking and standing and believing. And I can only feel for her husband because this is our husband's second wife. He's Christian. His first wife was a Christian, and his first wife died of pancreatic cancer. Then he gets married again to another woman who loves Jesus. You know, as one of the directors in our colleges, you know, I was thinking about some other things and other people, you know, that recently came down with it. But thank God, I have a friend, Steve, you know, he's recovering. Medication is working, you know, somewhat. You know about Barry? Right? Medication worked, praise God. Medication worked. But I'm going down a path, okay? And I don't want to take anybody with me that doesn't feel led, okay? And I'm very careful because I know my wife's life's on the line too, because my wife's going down on the path with me. I'm very careful because I know my daughter, she's going down on the path with me. I ain't going to a doctor. I ain't going. By his stripes I was healed.
Amen.
By his bruises I was healed.
Yeah.
If that ain't true, then nothing is.
Right.
If that ain't true, then my sins aren't forgiven.
Right.
If that ain't true, my sins aren't forgiven, then I'm going to hell. So one of it's true, it's all got to be true.
Right.
And this is why, you know, I don't mean it to be an arrogance. This is why I stopped listening to people. And let me tell you something. I did my share of listening. I did. I mean, before Lori came down with her colonic inertia, okay, Pastor Lenny spent at least 10 hours a day watching TV. Minimal. Can you imagine somebody? You know anybody spends that much time watching TV?
I can't find 10 hours a day to watch TV.
I did. I got up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, You know, 8 o'clock, I watched the Friends, before the Friends on Fox News. And then at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I watched, you know, Gretchen and Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade. I had to watch that. At lunchtime, I took my lunch break. I came home and I'd eat lunch and I'd watch Gunsmoke reruns. Then when my day was over at 4:30, I'd come home at 4:30 and I'd watch more Gunsmoke reruns. Then I'd watch Have Gun Will Travel. And then I'd go into old Magnum reruns. You know, they were each an hour apiece. I watched two of them. You know, then it led into, you know, the lineup of that night. For 12 years, I never missed an episode of NCIS. That was my favorite show. Ducky, Abby, you know, Gibbs, DiNozzo. Yeah, I used to like, I'd be a cool DiNozzo. You guys don't know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
no.
DiNozzo, Ziva David, you know, and Tim, and I mean, you know.
That's impressive.
I know they've all been replaced now, you know.
No Food Network shows?
What?
No Food Network.
I went to in-person Food Networks. You know? And then we watched Hawaii Five-O and then Blue Bloods and, you know, I mean, if it was on, you know, we watch it. Sometimes Lori and I say, you watched the episode without me? Honey, I just had to. I'm sorry, but we'll watch it again. And she'd be mad because she would watch it with me. Not everything, but, you know, a lot of things. And so it was 10 hours a day, you know. And so then what happens, she comes down with colonic inertia. I read the book, God Wants You, how's that? What's the name of that book?
Well.
God Wants You Well. I didn't want to read the book. I resisted it, but lights went on. Holy Spirit started bringing revelation to me. Thanks, and boom, and I just started, you know, grace, the message of grace, you know, healing, you know, wholeness. I mean, transformation started taking place. Renewal started taking place. And the next thing you know it, I turned in all my cable boxes. And I found out that Andrew Womack had a show on Roku, Gospel Truth Seminar. And so we got a Roku TV. And the 10 hours of whatever turned into 10 hours of Gospel Truth Seminar. The 10 hours turned into Victory, you know, a Victory Network. You know, Southwest Leaders Conventions, okay? Years and years and years. We went back and we just watched one year after the next, after the next, after the next. And that's what we did for 10 hours. Lori would come home, she joined with me. And there were certain things I wouldn't start. And we were just there and there and there, watching it. And then and all of a sudden in the morning, instead of watching Fox and Friends, between 6:30 and 8 o'clock when it came time for Lori to walk out the door, me to walk out the door, we already listened to 3 podcasts. We already listened to Joseph Prince. We already listened to Andrew Womack. We already listened to Creflo Dollar. Or we already listened to Greg Dickow. Or we already listened to Kenneth Hagin. Okay? And I mean hours and hours and hours. And I had a job where I could wear earphones all day. So I wore earphones all day. And I listened and I listened and I listened. Keith Moore. Kenneth Hagin. Joseph Prince. You know, Kenneth Copeland. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. Barry Bennett's the argument. I just, over and over and over and over and over again. And it was changing me. But then I got to the point where the Holy Spirit started redirecting me. Okay? And now I run as far away from law and legalism and mixture as I can, and I find out that it's everywhere. It is everywhere, in some way, shape, or form. There's things that you must do, you have to do, these steps, you have to, you know, and I started getting away from that. And the Lord, and you know, I started, when I first got this revelation, I was praying for everybody and everything, and people were being healed. A young 4.5-month-old baby was scheduled for heart surgery. Prayed for them. They canceled the heart surgery. He was healed. Right? I pray for a little girl who didn't have iris or a pupil in her eye. It was just all pure white. Pray for her. The next time I went back to her house, because she was on my pest control schedule, her eye was healed back to normal and doctors didn't know why.
Wow.
I prayed for another girl who was scheduled for ACL, MCL, and meniscus. She had a cast from her ankle up, and I was, boom. I went back the next month. How's your sister doing? Oh, you don't know? No, what happened? She's playing basketball again. She didn't need the surgery. I'm like, whoa, yeah. You know, and pray another house. This And going to this house, this little girl, man, she's on an inhaler every time. Not an inhaler, a nebulizer. Every time I've seen her, she's got this and she's got that. Asked the mother, can I pray for her? She said, do it, pray for her. So I come back the next month, and the mother's making oatmeal. You know, and she's looking at me smiling. I'm like, what the heck is she laughing? What is she smiling? She's making oatmeal, she's smiling at me. So I look at her, I said, why are you smiling so much? She's healed. I'm like, hallelujah. So see, then again, then I got it. Then I got instructed on faith. See, then I figured, okay, this is working without instruction on faith. Let me get strong in faith. Let me get instruction in faith. Because I heard, you know, you could build strength. You could have great strength, faith. You could have strong faith, you know? And I started getting involved in the message. The messages, you got to save it. And the woman with the hemorrhage, you got to save it. Because she said, you got to save it. So I started saying it. I started getting educated about the centurion with the great faith, right? You got to have great faith. You see, he's a centurion. Okay, he's a centurion. He's not his foot soldier anymore. So you know, I guess you have to start as a foot soldier. And then you work your way up. It's just like you got a patrolman, and then you become a patrolman, you become a sergeant, then you become a lieutenant, then you become a captain, then you become a commissioner. Then when you become a commissioner, then you have great faith. You know what I'm saying? So it's great faith. So now you got to, you know, understand authority, you know? And so I started getting into all that. And guess what? No, I didn't see miracles. No, they stopped. And then Holy Spirit started taking over. And you know, he led me to a book, The Chronological Parallel Gospels. You can buy it right now for $185. When I bought it, it was $19.99. Why it's $185, I don't know. I just looked it up the other day to see if it's still available. So I started, I don't know why I bought it, I just bought it. I have 100 Bibles as it is, so I just bought it. So I started reading and I started seeing things that started clarifying, I believe, the Word of God. And I started seeing in the narrative that Jesus wasn't calling this guy's faith great. In Hebrews chapter 12, right, we read where, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, the completer of faith. When you investigate the words, you're going to find out that Jesus was making a mention of the completeness of his faith. Amen. And why? It was easy to understand in the chronological, you know, New Testament Bible. I started reading it, and I read the first healing miracle, the nobleman's son. And as the narrative was continuing, it was talking about Jesus, how he wasn't like the rest of the leaders, how he wasn't like, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that day, how he was teaching and speaking as one with authority, right? How people were worshiping him and being healed, right? So that was the word that was being broadcast, right? So now, all of a sudden, in the narrative, see, when you read Mark or when you read Matthew, and when you see where the account of the centurion lies, and it's taken out of its order, and it's taken out of how it flowed, you have no idea of knowing that it was the third miracle, and it happened right after the nobleman, and it happened in the nobleman's jurisdiction, and he was a friend of the Jews, and he was a friend of the nobleman, and he built synagogues, and we forget the fact that we say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the centurion could not have had faith unless he heard. So what did he hear? This man, Jesus, he's a miracle worker. This man, Jesus, he has authority. This man, Jesus, he healed the nobleman's son, and all he did was say a word. So he hears this, right? Faith comes by hearing. He brings it to Jesus. He couldn't have brought that to Jesus unless he heard it. So he heard the completeness of the message. He received the completeness of the message. Faith was activated in his life. So Jesus made reference of that. I didn't like, wow, it was easy to see. And then I thought, the woman with the hemorrhage, same thing. When you read the narrative, just before the woman says, if I just touch him, just before that, it's broadcast that many are coming to Jesus and they're being healed, and simply by touching him. So that's part of the narrative. That's part of what's being broadcast. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So it makes its ways to that woman's ears, where she hears it and she receives it, and faith becomes activated. And then she too says, okay, oh, if I touch him, then if they're touching him, then they're getting healed. Then if I touch him, I'm going to get healed. Why? Because the hearing, faith was activated. So I started realizing, listen, this isn't about, you know, what they were doing, because what they were doing is different. If you study all the miracles, everybody's doing something a little bit different. So what you're doing is not the key, right? And everybody was there. What'd you do? What'd you do? Ada, what did you do to get healed? Right? What did you do? Right? What did you do? They want to know what you did. Mm-hmm. It's about the activation of faith. Mm-hmm. You know? It's about, say to this mountain. Say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in, and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt, right? If you don't doubt, but believe in your heart what you say, you shall have whatever you say. Right? Mm-hmm. Wow. But before that, what does it say? Have the faith of God. Mm-hmm. So, see, if you have the faith of God, if you have the activated faith of God, mm-hmm. then you say, yeah. And then whatever you say is going to take place. Amen. But if you don't have the activated faith of God, Andy, you could speak all day.
Yep.
Amen. And it's not going to happen. Yeah. This is why Paul said faith comes by, you know, hearing, hearing by the word of God. But then again, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, and Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, have you received your miracles by working, or by the hearing of faith? Mm-hmm. So it's about the hearing of faith. It's about hearing faith that becomes activated. And faith is a gift. It all comes from God.
Amen.
It all comes from God. So Holy Spirit, take us to that place.
Amen.
Take us to that place. And you know, and so my position is I run away from, you know, when you read the Old Testament, for instance, right? When you read the law, when you read the Psalms, when you read the minor prophets, when you read Proverbs, all good stuff, right? Do you know how many times the word if is found in the Old Testament? I'm a geek. I always look up these things. If. There are 1,071, which I thought there would be a lot more than that, conditional phrases in the Old Testament. And I hear a lot of preachers say, listen, you know, look at what they're saying. If. And you know, God hasn't changed. These are New Testament, you know, gospel believing preachers. God hasn't changed. See, if. No, that's all conditioning. That's all conditional. I don't live in a conditional gospel anymore.
Amen.
Where if I do, there's only one thing I do, and that's believe.
Amen.
And so when I read through the Old Testament, and I do, and I read through Psalms, and I read, but and when I see the if, right away, I say, thank you, Jesus, because you took care of the if.
Amen.
You took care of the if. Now the promise and now the blessing is mine because the if was taken care of with Jesus. But so many people think they have to take care of the if.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to run as far away from the conditional ifs as I can get away from. And you know what? I'm having such an awesome time in Colossians. We just had a great time in Ephesians, right? Galatians. Mm-hmm. Paul spent so much time. I never realized how much time Paul spends distancing people, distancing them from the law. And so I'm just going to share some things. That was just the opening, but I'm looking at the clock. We've got plenty of time. I forgot my watch. It's the first time I ever forgot my watch at church. So I have a big watch right there in the front seat. Big. Says we got a lot of time. And recently, I love Hebrews. Rick read from Hebrews today. I love Hebrews. Do you have your Bibles? Because I want you to read this with me. I want you to see these scriptures with me. These are awesome scriptures. So, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. I've read this so many times, but there's even more to see in it. This is amazing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Law had a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of those good things. Can never, with the sacrifices of the law, which are offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So, not Pastor Len, I believe it was Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews. it's immaterial, I guess, who wrote it. But whoever wrote it, right? What are they saying that the law with its sacrifices could never do? Make us perfect. The law can never make us perfect. Never. Amen. Because then it would have been ceased to be offered. See, once the comer is made perfect, then there's no more offerings.
Right.
Because he leaves perfect. He leaves no longer remembering sins.
Amen.
I'm not saying this. This is what the word says,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when you're looking at these words, shadow, it's cool. It's a cool word. It means I'm learning a new word, adumbrated, adumbrated, adumbrated. Do you ever hear, how do you say it? Adumbrated, A-D-U-M-B-R-A-T-E-D, adumbrated, adumbrating. It means to produce a faint image. All the law was to do was to produce a faint image. A faint image, right? Or a faint resemblance. And just an outline or a sketch to foreshadow something, prefigure something, to darken or conceal, right? Overshadow. Now this is what's cool when you're reading this in Vines. It says adumbrate is the opposite of illumination. So whenever you read the law, this says, right, there's a concealing. There's a hiding, right? There's a faint outline, right? There's an overshadowing. It's just a sketch. But if you want illumination, you have to move away from that. And Paul tells us this. We're going to go on. Shadow. Hallelujah. Think about this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints are. So this is what Paul is talking about. When you're going through the law, right? You're not going to see anything. You're going to be blinded. When you come to Jesus Christ in grace and are led by the Spirit, that's where the illumination comes from. This is what Paul is talking about. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 and 16. But their minds were blinded. Their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil. I'm glad Brother Rick brought up the veil that was torn. Okay? But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. So when the Old Testament is read, guess what? This is what Paul says. The veil remains. Is he not saying that? Is he not saying that? That's what he's saying, right? The veil remains. Now, which veil is done away with Christ? But even unto this day, when Moses is read, when Moses is read, was that money? If money falls my way, no. You don't grab it. But even until this day, when Moses is read, what's he talking about when Moses is read? The law. When the law is read, right? What does it say? When the law is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
Oh, my gosh. That's beautiful.
Amen.
But going back up to that word, up to that first verse we looked at from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, where it says year by year, continually, that word continually is diaknesis, which means perpetually, which means continually, which means forever, which means never end, which means never changes, and which means remains constant. That's really important because we're going to see this word again. So what this is saying is when you're under the law and when you continually bring sacrifices because you're remembering sin, you're going to have to keep doing that over and over and over and over and over again. Is that what it's saying or is that what it's not saying? That's what it's saying. Plain and simple. That's what it's saying. All right? Hallelujah. Perfect. Perfect. It can't make you perfect. It can't make you complete. It can't accomplish completion. It's teleo. Oh, the word perfect. Right? It doesn't finish anything. It doesn't fulfill anything. It doesn't make perfect. For then, verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? So what does this say? To me, this is saying, if I'm wrong, this is saying, if the comer was able to be made perfect, having no more remembrance of sin, right, then there would be no more need for offering. Is that what it's saying?
Yes.
All right. So for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Because it's not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sins.
Amen.
So there's always a remembrance. And there's always a perpetuality, a continuing.
Yes.
By the which will we are, this is verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. For by one offering he has perfected forever those that are sanctified.
Amen.
So Jesus is one offering. Did what the blood of bulls and of goats couldn't do. And what was that? To make people perfect. To purge people of sin consciousness. They would not have to come back year after year, again and again, to make offering for sin. This is what Hebrews is talking about. God wants us to live in righteousness consciousness. Amen. What you shared last week. Remember what you shared last week? If any man sin,
yes.
If I was talking to the guys yesterday, remember Chris in college, and I said, I think I sinned on Tuesday. I'm not sure. I think I might have sinned. So I asked Lori. I said, Lori, did I sin on Tuesday? Lori's response was perfect. She said, oh, if you did, I don't have any remembrance of it because love doesn't take into account wrong suffered it. I'm like, wow, that's a good answer. But I may have. But you see, if means, you know what? As you walk in your righteousness, as you walk in your perfection, as you understand who you are and what you are and whose you are and who you belong to and what God has done through Jesus Christ, that if should,
no.
Sin should fade away.
Yes.
We're not sinners anymore.
No.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So here we go, right? The word sanctified, this is unbelievable. Sanctified is hagiazo. And when you look it up in Strong's, and when you look it up in Vines, it means to be purified, it means to make hallowed, and to be made holy.
Amen.
Sanctified. And here's that word again. Perpetually. Amen. Remember what perpetually meant? You remember what perpetually meant? Perpetually meant, where'd it go? Perpetually meant continually, forever, constant, never ending, never changing. So here it is. I come to Jesus Christ. Lenny Rolla comes to Jesus Christ. You guys come to Jesus Christ, right? And in split second, I'm holy and I'm blameless and I'm perfect.
Hallelujah.
Guess what? You know what perpetually means? An hour later. I'm holy. I'm righteous.
Amen.
I'm blameless. I'm perfect. Oh, guess what? A month later. I'm sorry. Perpetually. I'm holy, I'm blameless, I'm righteous, I'm sanctified. A year later, 5 years later, 10 years later. Oh, wait a second. If any man sin, if I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm because perpetually, I've been hagiazo. This is what the word, I love the word of God. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. This is amazing. And so now, we're going to finish up with Colossians. I'm doing good. It's 11:06. I'll be done in 10 minutes. 11:15. I'll be done. You guys are saying, ooh, wow, that's great. More time for coffee and donuts. Come on, you guys got to join with me for Colossians. Colossians.
Amen.
Colossians, chapter 3. Hey, I'm going to give you a little commercial. Wait for Tuesday morning. Oh, Colossians on Tuesday morning is going to be so amazing.
Amen.
Oh, my gosh. So look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. This is, you know, in order to understand what he's talking about in verse 1 of Colossians chapter 3, man, you have to know what was going on in Colossians chapter 2 and chapter 1. This is just amazing. Okay? But look at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are in above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That verse 1, right? Paul is not saying, well, you know, if, as if it might rain, and if it's going to rain, then we can't go to the ball game if we cancel. But if it's sunny out, then we can't, you know, if. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying here. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. So, look at the verse, but read it backwards. Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Now, we know that's true and we know that's accurate because of Ephesians. Ephesians tells us the same thing. He co-seated us with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. We're co-seated with Jesus Christ. So we know it's right and we know it's true. So when you read it backwards, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, that's where you sit. That's where you sit. So, if you sit where Christ sit, then put your thoughts, fix your thoughts, fix your thinking, set your mind, set your understanding on throne room realities.
Amen.
You live in the throne room.
Amen.
You exist in the throne room. If Jesus is in the throne room, you're in the throne room with him. And you think about what's not allowed in God's throne room. See, because you're in the throne room, those things can't attach themselves to you.
Amen.
That's good, isn't it? Ah, I'm in the throne room. They ain't going to be attaching themselves to Jesus, so they're not going to be attaching themselves to me. Because I'm living in the throne room. So this is what Paul is saying. And it's consistent. Look at Ephesians. Look at Romans chapter 6. If you died with him, you were buried with him, you were raised with him, it's totally consistent. Galatians. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth in me.
Amen.
I was crucified with him. Totally consistent. So now, if Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, that's where you're sitting. And so now, if that's what you're sitting, keep your mind, keep your soul fixed on throne room realities. Now look what the next verse says. Set your affection, your mind, your understanding, your soul, because your spirit's already there. Your soul has to gain in the understanding. Your soul has to become renewed so the transformation can really take place.
Amen.
So now your affection should be there in the throne room,
yes,
where Christ is sitting and where you're sitting.
Amen.
Right? And not on things of the earth. What is Paul saying? Not on things of the earth.
Yeah.
Not fixed on things that are moved by the five senses.
Mm-hmm.
Get off the five senses. They lie.
Yes.
They mislead. They misguide. They try to trick us.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
But our eyes aren't on the senses.
Mm-hmm.
Our eyes are on the throne room.
Amen.
Where Christ is sitting and where we're sitting with him. Come on, is that not awesome?
Yes.
That's awesome. The word of God is amazing.
Yes.
For you're dead. You're dead. You died.
Amen.
You're dead. And now, newness of life, resurrection life, that new life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
I'm hidden. You know what? When you act, this is Psalm 91. Do you understand that? This is Psalm 91. The secret place.
Yeah.
Right? Dwelling in the secret place, in the cleft of the rock, in the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
Right? Where no arrow, no pestilence, no harm, no enemy, no plague. This is Psalm 91. God has hid me.
Yes.
He's hid me in Christ. That's where I'm at. I can't be found. But it all has to be faith activated. You have to know the word. Hear the word. Hear the word. Receive the word. Have faith activated. Believe and speak. That's how it becomes a reality. And now, the verse that I really want to look at is the next verse. Oh my gosh, which is so beautiful and so powerful. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What does it say in the Passion Translation? Rick, please. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4.
And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed.
Wow.
You are now one with him in his glory.
I like that. I wasn't sure if Brian Simmons was going to get it right. I wasn't sure if he was going to get it right. New King James, King James, maybe New American Standard, New International Version. They all pretty much say the same thing. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That's horrible. That's a horrible translation. The Passion Translation is closer, you know. And when you look into what these words are talking about, when you look at when, the word when, it really means every time. Every time. So think about this. Every time Christ, who is our life, Christ is our life, right?
Yes.
Think about Acts chapter 17, verse 28. It's in him we live and move and have our being. So Christ is our life. When is Christ going to be our life? He's our life right now. He's our life right now. Lots of people don't know that. Lots of people are in a salvation where their sins are forgiven and now they're hanging on and they're holding on and they're hoping that one day they'll make it to glory, you know, by God's grace. You know, and they're going to try to be good and they're going to try to do good and they're going to, you know, come to the altar. You know, they have not stepped into new creation realities or throne room realities. All right. So that word when means every time. Every time Christ, the anointed one with the anointing. That's the word Christ. When it's just talking about a person, it talks about Jesus. When it's talking about an anointing, the anointed one with the anointing, when the anointing, which is our life, every time the anointing that is our life appears, that word appears means renders, becomes rendered apparent, to render apparent, to appear, to manifest, to be declared, to show itself, right? So every time Christ, our life, is revealed, shows itself, then we are revealed. And our true selves are shown. That's powerful. That's so powerful. In his glory. That's powerful. And the Passion Translation, you know, I didn't check the Passion. I'm glad he translated it that way. It's more close to what I just shared from the Greek. Right? But before I looked at that, I said to myself, Lord, this is like Jesus Christ is the blueprint of my design. And when I see Jesus Christ, I see myself. When I see myself, I see Jesus Christ. Now, I have a Ford F-150 STX 4x4. White, black and gray interior. Every single white, black and gray interior, you know, Ford F-150 STX 4x4 comes off the assembly line looking identically the same. If you took my truck and put it out there, didn't tell me where you parked it, and you parked 10 other F-150 STXs, 4x4s, no license plates, right? No markings. I couldn't tell you which one was mine. I could not. And that's the beauty of what this message is telling us. See, every time you see Christ, you see yourself. Now, when you see yourself, you have to understand what we learned in Hebrews. All the markings, Brandon, all the markings have been removed. All the markings have been taken away. All the imperfections are gone. All that's left is the holiness, is the righteousness, is the completeness, is the perfection, is Jesus. So every time Jesus is revealed, you are revealed. I'm like, Lord, does anybody else believe that? And then I read it in the Mirror Bible. And I think he says it awesomely. He says it beautifully. This is what it says in the Mirror Bible. The unveiling of Christ as defining our lives immediately implies that what is evident in him and about him is equally mirrored in us. The exact life on exhibit in Christ is now repeated in us. We are included in the same bliss and joined oneness with him. Just as his life reveals you and I, our life reveals him. That's the way Daddy God made it to be. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that Jesus Christ is the express image of the Father. And Romans chapter 8 verse 30, or verse 29 tells us that we are the express image of Jesus Christ. The express image of Jesus Christ, who's the express image of the Father, makes us the express image of the Father. He's removed all imperfections. He's removed all flaws. He's made us holy, righteous, flawless, complete, perfect, perpetually, never changing, never ending, cannot be changed, cannot be moved, cannot stop. So now, when there's 10 of us lined up out there, you can't tell which one is Jesus. Amen. I didn't set it up to be that way. God the Father did. Amen. And the more we see ourselves as new creations, new creation realities, and until we see ourselves, whatever, or until we see ourselves in throne room realities, new creation realities, throne room realities, we're never going to have that fullness manifested out. This is why the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 says, circumcision doesn't matter. Uncircumcision doesn't matter. What matters is the new creation. Amen. The new creation. The new creation who lives and exists and has his being in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is right now seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're with him. Amen. Throne room realities for the new creation. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Good word, huh?
Yes.